Let us pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, as we prayed before this service began, we do thank you and praise you for the freedom and independence that we have in this country. Lord, never let us forget our dependence upon you. As we look into your word this morning, Father, we pray that our ears would be open, that our minds and our hearts would be attentive. Help us to stand strong in the face of adversity in a fallen world. Help us, Lord, to quit being lukewarm, wimpy Christians, and help us to be true men and women, warriors of the cross. Help us to be true and faithful soldiers for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, last week we had the first in a two-part series, folks, from Psalm 127. The title of that message was Archers and Arrows. Psalm 127 will also be our text for today. The title of today's message is simply Archers and Arrows, Part 2. Now, one of the first things we learned last week about Psalm 127 was that unlike most of the other psalms, this particular psalm was not written by King David. It was written by his son, King Solomon. In that psalm, Solomon compares dads to archers, to warriors and mighty men, and he compares their children to the arrows that these guys are shooting. Now, the implication here is pretty simple. Here is the principle, folks. When dads learn how to shoot straight, they will raise kids that hit the mark. Now, I'm going to do a quick review of some of the things that we talked about last week. So if you weren't here, we'll bring you up to speed. And if you were here, this will just be a little refresher for you, a little reminder for you. Now, the first thing I told you last week was that the institution of the family, that is the traditional family, your family, is under attack. We see that in every part of our society today, from Satan to the Supreme Court. And as I told you last week, it is the job of fathers as well as mothers to train up their children to be godly men and women. It is the job of dads to shape, to sharpen, and then shoot their arrows with skill and accuracy. Now, how are we going to make sure that our little arrows go where they're supposed to go? The first thing that's required for that to happen is that the archer must be strong. And I told you last week we're talking about spiritual strength here. And spiritual strength comes from submitting every area of your life to God. Because how can you possibly raise a godly child if you are not modeling godly and biblical values in the home? I'll tell you how. It can't be done. Number two, if you want to raise a godly child, the arrows must be straight. A crooked arrow, a warped arrow, will never fly and hit the target where you want it to hit. If a kid is not brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, there is very little chance that child is going to grow up to live a godly life. So how do we make sure that our arrows are straight? There's a few things. Number one, we've got to begin early. You want your arrows to be straight, friends, you got to begin early. That's why Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a what? Train up a child. The idea is of a small child. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. See, a little kid is a lot like a little tree. Why it's small? It's flexible. You can bend it. You can shape it. You can straighten it. If you want your arrows to be straight, you got to start early. Number two, if you want your arrows to be straight, you've got to be creative. And we talked last week about what that means. Teaching your kids to live according to God's word, it shouldn't be stressful. It shouldn't be unpleasant. No matter what you're doing, whether you're at the store going on vacation, whether you're walking down the street or sitting at home around the kitchen table, these are all teaching opportunities. And you've got to look for ways when you're just going about your daily business to teach your kids about the precepts and laws in the Word of God. This is exactly what Deuteronomy 6:7 is talking about when it says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." Number three, if you want godly kids, friends, if you want your arrows to be straight, then you've got to build character. Moms and dads, that's something that you have to do. We've got to stop delegating that responsibility to teach our kids' character to so-called professionals. We are the ones, more than anybody else, that directs the arrow. Make sure you are the ones that are teaching your kids the values that you want them to have. Now, that's a pretty quick review of what we talked about last week. Now, there's a few more things I want to pass on to you about how we make sure we have straight arrows. And the next one is this. You have to set limits on your child. You know what happens when a kid doesn't have limits? He gets in trouble. His life ends up being a mess. This is biblically true. Let me share a verse with you. 1 Samuel 3:13. God says, "For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not." That's talking about Eli the priest, who he himself, he wasn't really a bad priest in Israel, but he was a terrible father. He didn't discipline his kids. And when his two sons grew into men, they were vile individuals. They stole sacrifices that people were there to offer to the Lord. And they did things with the church ladies that shouldn't be done. And I'm going to leave it at that. Use your imagination. That's what kind of boys Eli raised, because he didn't discipline them. He knew what they were doing, and he never lifted a finger to correct them. And because of that, God says judgment would be upon his house forever. You say, "Well, that's fine, Pastor, but your views are outdated." Because all the experts today say that we shouldn't put limits on our children. We should just let them be free to express themselves. Let me remind you of something. A long time ago, God put his first two children in the Garden of Eden, and he set some limits. Do you know that if you don't set limits for your child, that's actually a sign that you're rejecting them? When you don't set limits, your kids perceive that as rejection, because they say, "Well, they don't care what I do. I can do whatever I want." Kids need limits, and I'm not talking about just a bunch of little bitty rules or a whole bunch of little bitty rules. I'm talking about having some basic godly principles that are not negotiable. Because your kids are naturally going to push against whatever rules you try to lay down. That's the way they are. They're little bitty sinners, just like we're great big sinners. And if you do not have solid basic biblical principles in place, then when they push against them, eventually those principles are going to fall over. And then the kid has no confidence that there's any absolute right or wrong. The kid has no stability in the home, because there's nothing that stays constant. Kids got to have limits. Number five, if you want your arrows to be straight and sharp, have a happy home. Your home should be filled with laughter. Your home should be the happiest and safest place that your kids know. Proverbs 15:13 says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." Have you ever seen a child with a broken spirit? I can assure you their home is not a happy one. Now, Proverbs 15 goes on to say in verses 14 and 15, "The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast." See, I don't care how much money you make. I don't care how big your house is. If your home is not filled with laughter, if your home is not a happy place for your children, your home is tragic. English novelist William Thackeray said, "Laughter is like sunshine to the home. Make sure your house is filled with that kind of sunshine. Because if your home is happy, I can tell you, your children have a lot greater chance of growing up to serve the Lord. Next, if you want your arrows to be straight and sharp, you got to let your kids see God at work in your family. Let them see God at work in you. Now see, your kids, if you bring them here, they hear me preach about God on Sunday morning. The question I have, are they seeing God working in your home? See, the church is like the classroom. I'm here to present the information and to teach, but your house is where this has to be lived out and put into practice. Now, how are your kids supposed to see God at work in your home? Well, number one, they should see it through your worship. Your kids, whether you know it or not, they're paying attention. They know whether or not you're going to church with them on a regular basis. Now, somebody may say, well, you know, I get there when I can, but, you know, last week we just couldn't make it. We had company drop in. Okay. Try telling that to your boss. Well, you know, I just couldn't make it to work yesterday. We had company drop in. Let me know how that works out for you. See, your kids are watching. They're watching where your priorities are. They're watching how you spend your time. They're watching how you spend your money. Make sure they see God as a vibrant truth in the way you live. Now look, our kids know we're not perfect. Cheyenne knows I'm not perfect. All my other three kids, they know I'm not perfect. And your kids know you're not either. But they're also going to know whether or not God is your number one priority. Let me ask you another question. If somebody were to ask your child, or more mature folks, if somebody were to ask your grandchild, what is your dad's or grandpa's number one priority, what would the answer be? Let your kids see God at work in your home. And finally, the final way to make sure your arrows are sharp and straight is to cover them constantly in prayer. If you're the archer and the children are the arrows, friends, the bow is prayer. That's what sends them arrows forward in flight. And a father who does not pray for his kids is like an archer with an unstrung bow. He's useless. You got to pray for the kids regularly. And no matter how dark or disappointing things may get, no matter how difficult it may seem, keep on praying for those kids. Never, ever stop praying for your children. Now, what are we saying here? What's Solomon's point? Number one, if you're going to be successful at raising your kids to be godly men and women, the archer must be strong. Number two, the arrows must be straight. And finally, the aim must be sure. If you're a good archer and you've got good arrows, that's all great, but you still need to make sure that your aim is sure. That means you're sure what you're aiming at. You have a good target. You have something worthwhile to shoot at. You have a goal. We're told here as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Look at verse 5. It says, and they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Well, what does that mean? They shall speak with the enemies in the gate. I told you last week the family's under attack. How are we going to take the institution of the family back from those that are seeking to destroy it? We're going to do it through our children. How are we going to shoot down the ideas of a godless and wicked society? With our arrows, friends, with our kids. They are going to be the ones who speak to the enemies. Our kids will be the ones who will stand up to that atheist college professor and say, wait a minute, that's a lie. This is the truth, and I know this is the truth because my dad taught me the truth. My mom taught me the truth, and they learned it from the Word of God. See, many times we try to keep our children from the enemy. We try to protect them from this big, bad world, and what we really ought to be doing is shaping them and sharpening them so we can shoot them at the enemy. We've got to instill God's truth in these kids so they can go forth and stand up to all of the terrible things that are out there in this world that go against God. We've got to raise them so they can stand firm in that. Sheila and I, we didn't have four kids so they could live in a bubble and not know what's going on out there. And we're doing our best to raise the three that are still at home, just like we did the first one, to be arrows that are used against the enemy. Now keep this in mind. I already said this. Let me tell you again to make sure you got it. Parents, more than anyone else, determine the direction of the arrow. Your aim must be sure. The Apostle John says in 3 John verse 4, there's only one chapter there, 3 John verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in the truth. I told you a few weeks ago, actually I think it was, might have been the Mother's Day sermon, that as parents, we have goals for ourselves, but we have desires for our children. See, I can't make a goal for anybody but me. Now, my desire is to raise godly children, but my goal is to be a godly dad. You got to have a good aim and a godly desire before your kids, before you can release them. And that's the thing about arrows. If you just draw them and aim them, but you don't release them, they don't do any good. One commentary I read on this particular psalm said, arrows are not to be collected, they are to be projected. Whether you realize it or not, your ultimate job as a parent is to work yourself out of a job, to train your kids, to give them the knowledge, the wisdom, and the tools that they need to make it on their own, to stand strong when they get out there and you're not around to wipe their nose for them anymore. It's very similar to archery in that an archer draws his bow, he takes careful aim, and then he has to release that arrow. We've got to shape them, we've got to sharpen them, and friends, then we got to shoot them. According to this psalm, there is a time when the arrows are in our hand, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. But when they grow up, they won't be in your hand any longer. They'll be adults. And because of that, we should be striving to raise kids that are physically and emotionally prepared to leave the home. Kids that will be able to go out and love a husband or wife more than they love their mom and dad. That's hard to do, isn't it? Did you hear what I said? They will be emotionally able, physically able, to love their spouse more than they love mom and dad. That is not an easy thing to do. One father said, giving your daughter away in marriage is like giving a Stradivarius violin to a gorilla. But friends, there comes a time when the archer has to release that arrow and let it fly. The archer must be strong. The arrows must be straight and the aim must be sure. One more time, look at verse 4. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Dads, if you want to be successful, and moms, this goes for you too, if you want to be successful at raising godly children, let me ask you to do a few things that'll help you. Number one, dads, will you ask God to make you a mighty man? As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man. See, it's God that gives you that strength. He's the one who gives it to you. Number two, will you get to work shaping and sharpening your arrows? This takes time. It takes commitment. Number three, will you work on your skills as an archer? And number four, would you rethink what your goals and desires are for you and your family? So what is your aim for your child, parents? What kind of success do you want? Do you want them to be a successful failure? Or do you want to raise them to be men and women of God? Now, look, I know everybody in here doesn't still have small children at home. And some of you may be saying, well, you know, I appreciate the sentiment, but it's too late for me. The arrow's gone, and he flew in the wrong direction. Friend, let me tell you, it's not too late. You ask any bow hunter in here and he will tell you lost arrows can be recovered. Pray again for that grown child. Ask God and his grace and his mercy to give you one more chance with him or her. But pray and pray and pray some more. See, verse 1 of this psalm says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. We've got to realize just how dependent we are upon God. Now, in just a minute here, as we close, I'm going to give a gospel invitation. I'm going to invite unsaved people in this sanctuary to give their hearts to Jesus Christ. Know this, you will never be a mighty man without him. Now, you may hear this sermon, you may see what this psalm has to say and say, well, you know, preacher, you're talking about a romanticized idea that I don't know anything about. My dad was a failure. My dad deserted my mother. Or maybe you're saying, my mom deserted my dad. I'm from a broken home. Maybe you say, my dad died when I was little. Or maybe he was cruel and vindictive. And because of that, you think, I can't really understand any of what you're talking about here. All those things might be true in your life. Unfortunately, things like that are a lot more true than they've ever been before. But I want to tell you something, friend. You have another father. You've got a father who's in heaven. Jesus taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven. Psalm 27:10 says that when my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. See, there is a God, there is a heavenly Father, and he wants to be your father. But the only way he can do that is if you are willing to become his child. You've got to be born into his family, and the Bible calls that being born again. How are you born again into the family of God? Friend, you're born again in the family of God by faith. Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. And to be saved means all your sins are forgiven. It means Jesus lives in your heart. And it means he gives you peace, power, and strength. And finally, it means that when your earthly body dies, you'll have an eternity to spend with him in heaven. Now, I promise you on this Bible that I preach from that if you will pray a prayer of faith and mean it in your heart, if you will repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you, and you will ask Jesus to come into your heart and be your Lord and Savior, he will save you instantaneously and he will keep you saved eternally. Now, if you're here today and you've never prayed to receive Jesus as your Savior, let me tell you this. If you refuse to receive him, you will not make it to heaven. Now, I'm not trying to be mean-spirited. I'm not trying to be rigid or divisive. I'm simply telling you the truth. Without Jesus, you will spend eternity in hell. There is no other option. However, if you want to know for a fact that you will spend eternity in heaven, all you got to do is pray that prayer of faith and mean it in your heart. Prayer like this, and I'm going to lead you. And if you need to pray this prayer, pray it with me. You can walk out of here today knowing for a fact that you're going to heaven. Doesn't matter what you've done, the blood of Jesus covers every sin. And friend, if you're here today and you're already saved, then I'm going to ask you to pray for those who may not be. If you need to get saved, pray this prayer along with me. All heads are bowed, all eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, I believe that you love me. I believe that you loved me so much, you sent your son to die for me. I believe that his death on the cross paid for all my sins. God, please forgive me. I repent of all my sins right now. I ask Jesus to come into my heart and to be the Lord and Savior of my life. God, help me to be the person you want me to be. Help me to walk with you all the days of my life. Thank you for saving me, God. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer today and you meant that in your heart, I'm telling you, not my opinion, on the authority of the Word of God, you are heaven bound. But getting saved is not the end of your Christian walk. It's only the beginning. And if you're going to be a solid, mature Christian man or woman, you need to make sure you are in the house of God on a regular basis, that you're reading and studying His Word on a regular basis, and that you have a regular prayer time every day. And if you need to know more about that, please talk to me after the service.